Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways that you could save.
Yeah.
Daniel Dopp, Liz Loza, Fields Yates here, breaking down everything that you need to know about Monday Night Football. We got waivers. We're going to talk some news. But Field, one thing is more important than all of the other things
that
on
is,
today's show.
That is absolutely correct, Daniel. Do you want to spill the beans?
How about I do the first half, you do the second half.
Okay.
All right. Today is officially Liz Loza's
birthday!
Hey! Happy birthday, Liz!
You only turned 25 once. It's wonderful to be having to celebrate you you here on the Fantasy Focus. How does it feel
to be 25 again? Great.
Again,
yes,
for the first time. You can now legally rent a car.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
Yep, you can. Well, I think in some states it's 25.
Let
others
me rip up the streets of Bristol. Let's go.
Let's go. Love it.
Thank you guys very much for being so warm and welcoming on my birthday, but also whenever I'm here, it's great.
We love having you here. It has been awesome. I think there's just a totally different energy having someone in person as opposed to 3,000 miles away over FaceTime or whatever. So it's been awesome to have you here. We hope that we can somehow find a way to convince you to come back later on this season. Knock it on wood, that'll happen.
That's right.
More times.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Did you planned though, the reason why you're here is because you wanted to spend your birthday with Field and I though, right? That's why
the last time I was here was my husband's birthday.
Wow.
It seems to be a thing. So what are your kids' birthdays? Okay.
Well, I have one in December.
All right. Well, we'll see you in December.
Yeah, okay. Great. Awesome.
Love it. Yeah. Love it. All right. Let's talk about some of the news before we get into last night's game. Field, the Cardinals' wide receiver room became a little bit bigger, while also maybe becoming a little bit smaller at the same time.
And bigger at the same time, so one thing leads to the other, right? On Sunday, Hollywood Brown is intended for a pass from Kyler Murray late in the game, and it was clear as the pass got intercepted that Hollywood Brown was in a ton of pain. What does he do really well? He runs extremely fast down the field.
Yep.
Although a lot of his usage this year had been closer to the line of scrimmage, he is capable of doing that. Well, it turns out that injury is going to cost Hollywood Brown some chunk of time. We thought there was a chance it could have been season ending yesterday. The new estimated timetable for Hollywood Brown is 6 weeks. In comes Robbie Anderson, who, of course, was kicked off the field yesterday by his own coach, in a loss against the Rams because he got into it with his coaches on multiple occasions. And Robbie Anderson's a tricky one to evaluate, right? Mm-hmm. The peak of Robbie Anderson's been good. He's had over 1,000 yards in a season. The Carolina Panthers liked what they saw from him so much after year one, they extended him for nearly $30 million. The problem is since then, it's been an abject disaster. He was 28th in the NFL in targets last year. It's been a rough start of it this year, but a new offense, there's at least more value than there was in Carolina, right? At least 100%. For a couple of weeks, because he's going to have potentially a role. You wouldn't trade for a guy to put him on the bench, but you have also DeAndre Hopkins returning this week. You have Rondale Moore, who's been busy of late. Zach Ertz has been a solid tight end this year. I'm not sure there's a massive role for Robbie Anderson, but it brings him back to life a little bit in fantasy.
Yeah, from that standpoint, you look at it and we'll see how things work out too. This whole Cardinals offense, to be honest, now without Hollywood, now adding Nuke, what's that going to look like? You bring in Robbie Anderson from that standpoint. We're still waiting to see what's going on with the running backs because James Conner still has a rib injury and Darrell Williams. So a lot going on here with these Cardinals to figure out here for this week. Let's talk about a couple of quarterbacks that might be returning and Dak Prescott and Tua Tagovailoa. Liz, Dak Prescott coming back potentially this week to take on the Detroit Lions.
It's a great matchup.
I feel like it's a really great matchup from that standpoint. Well,
the greatest of matchups, right?
In part because these Cowboys have been so bad. They have the fifth fewest offensive touchdowns in the season, right? They have the second lowest completion percentage of all teams with Cooper Rush under center. So getting Dak back is going to be huge for not just Dak, but this offense as a whole with CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, and everyone else from that standpoint.
But even if he's rusty, there's an opportunity in this particular matchup to lean on the backfield, even if Zeke it doesn't have the juice he once had.
Are you saying the Lions can be run on, Liz?
I might have played around with some statistics last yesterday, and they are having a lot of trouble stopping running backs, particularly up the middle, which is what we know Zeke does. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I mean, I'm more optimistic.
There could be a transitional point, is
perhaps,
what I'm saying.
Perhaps they don't throw it 50 times on Sunday with Dak Prescott, but good Lord, we need this week.
Yes, we do.
Dak and Tua, because between Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts and even Kirk Cousins being on a bye this week, and guys like Russell Wilson, who we'll talk about in a bit, And also Aaron Rodgers, who we've talked about already, and these quarterbacks that you thought could be starters who are just awful right now. We need serviceable starters back in the lineup for fantasy. So getting Dak and Tua is always a good thing back. But to have them in the same week returning when it feels like quarterback options have really thinned is massive. I've got both Dak and Tua comfortably inside my top 10, operating under the presumption that they play on Sunday, which Jerry Jones not yet committing to Dak Prescott, expects that to happen, does Dr. Jerry Jones. And then for the Dolphins, it seems like, and that was what Shefty reported on Saturday, Tua's going to be the guy on Sunday night against Pittsburgh. And while the Steelers played really, really well against Tom Brady and the Bucs, they have not been that great so far for much of this season.
No, they have not. I like both of those guys as long as they play this week too. Field, and to that point, if you had been using Carson Wentz as someone that you were using as a streamer, going to be out for a handful of weeks.
Well, here's the good news for you. If you've been using Carson Wentz, fantasy basketball season starts tonight. You don't have to worry about your crappy fantasy football team anymore. Wentz did have a couple of really, really big games early on, but it's been a disaster.
Any chance, though, that with Taylor Heinicke under center that things maybe change for these pass catchers? You think so?
I think it's better, Liz. What do you think?
I think they get better. Also, Terry McLaurin has decent rapport with Taylor Heinicke. I mean, I think going into the season, everybody was really upset that McLaurin wasn't going to have an elevation at quarterback. But I did think that Carson Wentz was better than Heinicke. I don't know about that anymore. I think Heinicke brings a certain grittiness and a certain rapport to the pass catching group. I'm also interested to see how Curtis Samuel folds in with Taylor Heinicke in the mix.
This really comes down to one thing, in my opinion. Well, I guess two things. Let me be clear. The second thing I'll say first, even though it's less important. Could Taylor Heinicke, who's had some serviceable fantasy days in the past, be one of those potential streaming options when there's so many question marks at quarterback?
Good question.
Right. Well, the idea this year was, hey, there's 18 really good fantasy options at quarterback. Mm-hmm. There's 8. That's the reality. Maybe a few more than that, but not many more than that. We need quarterback reliability. Could Taylor Heinicke bring that? But more importantly, this is about Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin, and when you have, you can have a thing in your phone where you set it where if I type GAR, my phone guesses Garoppolo.
Yep.
Right. It's it's a memory thing so that I don't have to type
an autofill
out.
And, kind of whatever.
Autofill. Yeah. I feel I have an autofill in my brain with Terry McLaurin. When I say Terry McLaurin, I also say a superstar talent who's awesome, who got $71 million this offseason, who's been neutralized by his own offense. It makes zero sense to me whatsoever. It needs to get back on track. And maybe, just maybe, Taylor Heinicke can be the spark plug that we need to get Terry McLaurin trending in the right direction.
I am fingers crossed because everybody in fantasy wants
fingers,
that right now.
Toes, cross your eyes, whatever you can do.
Taylor did get him there last year with fewer mouths to feed, however.
All right, let's see how that works out. All right, let's talk our Monday night football game. Boy, was this...
Yeah, we are contractually obligated to talk about this. It's not by choice. And if you want to skip forward, the recap will last 14
probably
seconds.
Probably not very long. Russell Wilson, 188 passing yards, a touchdown, 23 rushing yards, 13.8 fantasy points. After holding on to him now through 6 weeks, waiting to see the next thing, is this the game finally where you can say, if I've held out this long, I can cut bait from Russell Wilson?
You first, Liz, because...
I would say so.
Here's the point. Isn't the problem, for who? The only quarterback that I can come up with that I'm he was nowhere near the redraft radar, but all of a sudden he is definitely on the redraft or is on the starting radar is Geno Smith. But only one person can have Geno Smith in your league.
He's already probably rostered at that.
Right?
Point,
but you have to imagine people may not have held on to Tua, right? There could be availability.
I hope they did.
There.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah.
And you are right, though. This particular week, we have all of those Jalen Hurts, Kirk Cousins, serviceable quarterbacks on bye. So
that's going to be tough. I still this is one of those things where if you have Russell Wilson and you just say, I'm just gonna go back with it. I might rather have Trevor Lawrence, who's a streamer this week, rather than Russell. I'm not sure what it is that I've seen here. And all this to say, if you started him, he got you less than 15 fantasy points. You're never thrilled about it. I get your point field, but
maybe here's what I would say is I would think. And people can correct me if they feel differently.
Oh, they will. Don't worry.
I'm sure they will, right? But I would think in terms of guys that need to be started no matter what, if you have them on your roster, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, probably Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray. Then you're talking about guys like, is Tom Brady in that conversation? Mm. Is Tua in that conversation right now? Is Geno in that conversation? I got to seven, and I might be overlooking a player or two there that you're like, okay, I absolutely must start this guy, because other players in the top 10 for fantasy points this year amongst quarterbacks include Carson Wentz, who I was just laughing at, Trevor Lawrence, who you just brought up, Daniel, but still, like, there's risk. It's not like absolutely a guaranteed upside, right?
Absolutely, there's risk.
Marcus Mariota, who's throwing the ball like four times a game.
Not an option.
Like, it's just a different year this year for quarterbacks. So I am having an extremely difficult time with Russell Wilson. Usually, though, I'm able to apply like wholesale advice. Like, hey, if you have Russ, here are three names that I would target.
Yeah.
Because of the way that things have fallen this year for quarterbacks, it's hard for me to say, all right, using our available data, these three guys are not rostered in 60% of leagues or more. We don't have that this year.
Let me ask you this question. If you picked up somebody early in the season because Russell Wilson sucked, and now you have that other quarterback, like a Geno Smith or a, like, pick the other guy. I guess I'm not really sure who else it would be from that standpoint. I guess it would probably just be Geno.
That's it. That's the thing. Is it like who else is in the rising tide?
Well, it would have been Carson Wentz, but we can't use him anymore.
Like this week, just like mini name game here, right now. Russell Wilson or Matt Ryan this week?
Russell Wilson, because at least he's getting you 20 rushing yards a game.
Russell Wilson, you're still going with Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
But it's like, you don't feel good about that.
No, I don't feel good about it. But I mean, Matt, I think Ryan's, I would go with Matt Ryan. Yeah. He's getting sacked five times a game.
So I still think it'd be Matt Ryan for me.
Matt Ryan, Trevor Lawrence. You've got Jared Goff taking on the Cowboys coming back this week.
Do you want to face that Cowboys defense? Going to the teeth of that one?
I don't know.
Okay. How about this one? Bailey Zappi, if he starts, or Mac Jones, would you rather either? Like, who would you prefer?
No. Nope. Jacoby Brissett.
Who do you want there? By the way, for as bad as it was for Russell Wilson this week, it was bad, right? We're all sitting, we're lamenting a performance.
This was an AFC West. This was supposed to be like the whole showdown, a divisional showdown under the bright lights. Remember all the points that were supposed to be scored?
But how about this? He's quarterback 15 on the week.
Well,
he's middle of the pack. Like, and this, it's not to say that Russ was better than you might think. It's to say that quarterbacks are worse than we're realizing. Guys, I don't know what to do here.
Quarterback's the new running back.
Are running backs worse than we're realizing? Because I was waiting for Melvin Gordon. I know we need to spend a lot of time on Russell Wilson, but I was waiting for the rest of this.
I'm glad we got the Russell Wilson.
Melvin Gordon
chest.
Was just not utilized yesterday. It was all Latavius Murray and a little bit of Mike Boone in the second half. But like, what happened here?
What do you do here?
No idea.
We are asked by Keith to have our rankings in on Tuesday morning. Yes. Usually we do so before the show begins. I do an initial round of ranks on Monday, and then depending on what happens on Monday Night Football, I go and adjust things. It also accounts for if we get an injury update at 7:30 on Monday night or whatever, right? Most of the time, that Monday Night Football adjustment is teeny tiny, right? Mm. Like, hey, a wide receiver popped who I didn't realize he was going to pop. Maybe I bump him up a couple spots here. How do you rank the Broncos running backs going into this week? Because Latavius Murray was on the scrap heap 3 weeks ago. He didn't have a job. And he had 12 carries last night. Played the most snaps of all Broncos running backs. Does that mean that we should be ranking Latavius Murray as the highest ranked Broncos running back? And if so, what's the value there? He had zero catches last night. He had one catch for -2 yards.
For -2 yards.
So 15 carries for 66 yards. And one catch for -2 yards. So in the night when he was a lead back, he had 7.4 fantasy points. Like, what do you do here? That to me screams of a touchdown dependent flex. But that's assuming he's the guy. How are we supposed to know is he's going to be the guy next week? What if Melvin Gordon, who by the way is the most talented of the guys they have, gets 20 carries next week?
Here's what I keep coming back to. So Melvin Gordon was good enough to steal touches from Javonte Williams, but he wasn't good enough to steal touches from Latavius Murray.
That seems odd, huh?
Which makes me feel like this is a curious, instructional sort of situation that we might not have all the information about.
Mm.
Right? Like, there's going to be... I know that Nathaniel Hackett said that it was not injury-related, that Melvin Gordon was not hurt. We also know that he's dealt with a neck injury a couple of weeks ago. There have been some nicks, some bumps, some bruises. This could also be a... I'm going to teach you a lesson sort of moment. We know that coaches like to do those sorts of flexes. I am going to stand pat, and I'm not quite sure that next week we might see all of this flip. How do we know that Mike Boone isn't going to be the guy?
Well, that's the point, though, right? But isn't that like, Our job in fantasy football as analysts is to try to present to you, Daniel, the thing that we think is most likely to happen.
Yep. And it's really tough to be able to, when I look at that, I have zero faith in my ranking of Melvin Gordon anywhere inside the top
today
40. Yeah, as of today. And that goes for every single one of these running, but 40s even seems high. Like, yeah. I don't want to rank any one of them right now because I have no idea which way it's going to break out. Someone is going to get the carries in this backfield, right? But I don't know who.
My gut call is this. It's just a gut call. This is a Tuesday morning gut call. We'll update it
throughout. We'll obviously have more info, yeah.
Is that it's not going to be just one guy. It's going to be something like it was last night where, yes, someone's going to have to lead the backfield in carries, but you're going to see all three of them have some level of a role.
That sounds fun.
And then beyond that is that we need to follow the remarks of the coaches this week. Because after the game, Melvin Gordon gave an interview with Bridget Condon of the NFL Network and just was flummoxed. Was like, I don't know why they didn't play me. Like, no one said, there was no messaging. There was no like, hey, we're going to Latavius instead because you missed three assignments or something in the first half. It was just, you're not in. And so we're going to have to rely on the clarity that we may get from the coaches this week. But my initial lean is that going into week 7, there will not be a single Broncos running back in the top 30 of my backfield rankings. With four teams out of bye this week.
What about wide receivers? Because it felt like that was the only spot. Cortland Sutton was like the only guy that had sort of been Broncos proof up until this point, right?
Yeah.
And then we had last night happen, and it's like, is this just a weekly aberration and you're still going to have him as a flex play?
No, I think better than that.
Better than that. Yeah. Still a wide receiver
too. Top 15 wide receiver for me.
Yeah.
I mean, he was really good prior to this.
And there might have been some squeaky wheel getting some grease in Jerry Jeudy, who all of a sudden saw 7 targets. Only caught 3 of those balls, right, for just over 50 yards. But we have been lamenting the lack of Jerry Jeudy's usage and his ability to show up in the way that we have been projecting him to show up based on talent and draft capital over the past few seasons.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, too, if maybe also Nathaniel Hackett is like, been curious in his play calling, and this might be another one of those, like, I am overthinking it in a division matchup. Again, on primetime, where the pressure is bigger. And
do they play on primetime next week? They do not.
I think we're done with that, aren't we?
Thank God.
This is the third
time. 4 out of their first 6 games, they played on primetime. And thankfully, that is not the case in week 7.
So maybe he'll get less poorly. I don't want to steal.
No, it's all right. No, it's okay.
Yeah, but this is Mike Clay had this stat this morning, which is awesome. It's a great stat. The Broncos are dead last in terms of offensive touchdowns per game this season.
That's
1.2.
Let's ride.
They're also first and defensive touchdowns allowed, 1. Wasn't the, like, again, I've said this before, didn't they bring in a quarterback that was supposed to take them to new heights, and wasn't Russell Wilson finally supposed to be unleashed? Not to mention, by the way, he's got a hamstring injury, suffered late in the game. So now he's got a hamstring injury
that
is going to require some treatment. We'll have more throughout the week if he is limited or whatever on the practice report, but it's a mess right now. It's frustrating. I if you're a Broncos fan out there and you need a hug, like, I'm sad to win your way because it's brutal right now.
All right. Quickly, let's go through these Chargers because I feel like this was just a tough game. Justin Herbert did not look fantastic. 238 yards, an interception, 9 rushing yards, no touchdowns, 8.4 fantasy points. Better days are ahead. It's a tough Broncos defense, but this one was tough.
The thing I just mentioned about a tough, like, elite defense, right? Like, that probably is a takeaway here, is that maybe you have to consider, not if it's a Patrick Mahomes, but, you know, if you have a quarterback who's kind of a fringe, even though we've been saying there are no other good options, like, if you're somebody who is blessed to have multiple options, just be wary of this Broncos defense because they are the real deal. Holy fool. They are nasty right now.
Well, one way to overcome that is just by getting 16 targets in the passing game. And if you get 16 targets, then you can just overcome.
This,
like,
was
your
Austin Eckler's birthday present to Liz.
That's exactly what it was. Yes. That's what it was.
Your former co-host. Gosh, you have really downgraded from Austin Eckler.
Seriously.
To Daniel and I. Sorry.
It was nice to see him getting a ton of volume, though, and doing that, which he does best. You know, it was really refreshing, especially, you know, last week you saw Josh Kelly on some waiver wire advice columns a couple of weeks ago. It was Sony Michel, and I just kept thinking, like, guys, you don't need to be adding names. You don't need to be adding.
Well,
names.
We were nervous. Like, we got too nervous to start at the beginning of the year.
Our group.
Well, right. But no touchdowns in the first 3 games, right? No rushing touchdowns, like, and that was a thing after having 20 touchdowns last year that you were looking at. Touchdown in each of the last 3. He's been still obviously heavily involved in the passing game, like he is. So Austin Eckler is awesome. These wide receivers.
I think Austin Eckler, he has either taken over or is very close to overtaking Saquon Barkley for RB1 this season.
Oh.
So if we were to do that redraft right now, it would be a very healthy conversation that included Austin Eckler. He's been remarkable. He's so good in the passing game. His rushing efficiency was way up the past couple of weeks. Last night it wasn't great, but he still found the end zone. Like that mini, teeny tiny slump for the first like game and a half of this season, a long, long, long gone memory.
Over Saquon Barkley by 14 fantasy points.
How about that?
Lone RB1 right now. So that's exciting. All right, let's talk about these pass catchers really quickly, where Big Mike Williams did what Mike Williams does sometimes.
By the way, I was just told by Keith that the Broncos don't play in primetime, but they do play not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, ESPN Plus exclusive, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time in London.
Stop it.
Against the Jaguars.
Which is basically another... All right, well, at least people don't have to watch that game because they can sleep through it if they
it's
want.
It's like ESPN minus plus. This
Stop
is
it.
ESPN
that is,
primetime, not primetime.
Right, right. when you look at these wide receivers field, Mike Williams got just shut out by Patrick Surtain.
Yeah, he's awesome. He might be the best cornerback in the NFL right now.
He looked fantastic. So, like, this is one of those weeks. It was just a really tough matchup. You're still going to be starting Mike Williams. But, Liz, I was looking at, I talked about Josh Palmer, and I've been waiting for Josh Palmer to be this guy. Finally got the volume that we were looking for here.
Yeah, but those hands at
Well, that part wasn't great. That
I mean, if you look, the 9 catches for 57 yards is a lot more forgiving than if you actually watched that game. If you made it through that whole game, there were some moments. I watched this game, obviously, at the hotel bar. At Beckett Hotel taking notes, right? and there were moments I think I made a couple of noises and people were just like screaming at a couple of Josh Palmer drops and bobbles. Regardless, we like to see this. This is why you wanted Josh Palmer. If there was going to be an injury, there was going to be an issue, you wanted him to step in and do this. And then you thought, oh gosh, if Keenan Allen isn't in, it's going to be Josh Palmer. But we've also been seeing Gerald Everett do a lot of the work. It can only be one. Nuh-uh. If Mike Williams goes down and we know that the coverage from via Surtain is going to do that, then Everett now has an opportunity. 7 targets, 5 catches. You get 5 catches out of a tight end in 2022? Chef's kiss. I'll take it.
I'm thrilled with that from that standpoint. Yeah. So
I don't care about the 30 yards, like, or 29 yards. Yeah, right? It doesn't matter. Give me the 5 catches.
Give me the volume. Like, that's what I'm looking for. Yep. From that standpoint. Field, anything else you want to add on the Chargers before we move on here?
Mostly that, like, the numbers are down a little bit. But again, that's like if Herbert's had a sloppy game, then like you have to expect that. Like this is the Mike Williams experience, and I can't wait to see Keenan Allen back. Expected this Sunday against the Seahawks. Lots of points expected in that game.
All right. We're going to come back and do a new segment called Either, Neither, or Both. But first, Field and Liz are going to share a few things from some of our friends.
All right. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Did you know there are currently over 2.4 million podcasts in the world, including the one you're listening to right now? You know, it takes a team of people to help bring these podcasts together. We've got engineers, producers, and assistants that put up with us daily. And you know what that requires? The right type of person. Where would we be without them? Not in a good spot, that's for sure. And whether you're hiring for a podcast or for your growing business, there's only one place that makes it easy, ZipRecruiter. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. ZipRecruiter uses its powerful matching technology to find and match the right candidates with up with your job. You can easily review these recommended candidates and invite your top choices to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So if you're a fan of this podcast and you want to try ZipRecruiter for free, you need to remember our special URL, ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right, new segment called Either, Neither, or Both. We are 6 weeks into the football season. We have enough of a sample size to be able to say, all right, let's try to do a little projecting. Let's look to the future a little bit here. So we're going to have a few statements that our producers got to us.
Yep.
We're going to decide whether either one of them is true, neither of them is true, or both of them are true. Here we go. We're going to start with the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers will not be a top 12 quarterback when the season ends. Currently quarterback 24
on the
season.
Yep.
And number two, Aaron Jones will not be a top 20 running back when the season ends for the Packers. He's currently running back 19. So, Field, I'm going to start with you. Will Aaron Rodgers be a top 12 quarterback when the season is over?
Nope. Do I have to expand on that or no?
You do not have to.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I mean, he's quarterback 24 right now. And if you watch his offense, like, where are the reasons for optimism? So Christian Watson, currently hurt. Randall Cobb, currently hurt. So he's going to rely upon a wide receiver group led by Alan Lazard. Sammy Watkins could be back this week. Romeo Dobbs, fine. But, like, we're not getting consistency from them other than Alan Lazard scoring touchdowns, which is fine. But, again, like, they're barely threatening teams in the passing game so far this year. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers has no value with his legs or minimal value with his legs. But it's just, he hasn't thrown for 260 yards in a game. He hasn't thrown 3 touchdown passes in a game this year. He hasn't run for 11 yards yet. Like, the upside you're looking for from Aaron Rodgers, like, how the path for him to get back to where he was last year
is Devontae Adams being traded back to the team.
Like otherworldly efficiency with minimal turnovers. Even turnovers have been a problem for Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Relative to the standard Aaron Rodgers has set for himself this season. So, not a top 12 quarterback. Aaron Jones will be a top 20 running back by the end of the season. They need to get him the ball more. They need to get him the ball a whole lot more. He's currently inside the top 20, barely. I think he finishes inside that top 20, though.
I'm for both of those. We're just going to give our answers real quick, and we'll move on to the next one. Aaron Rodgers, inside the top 12, yes or no?
He will not be inside the top 12.
What about Aaron Jones?
He will be inside the top 20. Last Smart. Point of quickly about Aaron Jones. No Randall Cobb, we mentioned. He was in tears when he came off the field. Obviously, that's an intense situation. Aaron Jones is averaging just under 3 catches per game. You have to imagine some of those looks go up without a check down option like Cobb and understanding,
I sure hope
noting
so.
Aaron Rodgers' trust issues. Maybe Jones sees an uptick in targets.
All right. I also have Aaron Rodgers not finishing as a top 12 quarterback, and Aaron Jones will be a top 20.
All right, so we see that one the same. That's good.
All right, let's talk about this one. Buffalo Bills wide receiver. I'm going to start with just one of these.
Okay.
Liz, will Stephon Diggs finish as the wide receiver one at the end of the year?
No.
Who do you got? Cooper Kupp?
Take your back. Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase,
Tyreek Hill. So you're picking the field, basically.
Right. Yeah,
like, that's fair.
I don't believe that he will necessarily up all of those guys. He'll be in the top 5. If you feel comfortable saying a top 5.
Yeah, he's number 1 right now, so he'd have to keep this pace. He's currently number 1 by a small margin over Cooper Kupp, less than 5 points, but still, I mean, he is wide receiver 1. And
is remarkable, though, that given Buffalo's stout defense, they are still 5th in pass attempts in the NFL.
Oh, they don't establish the run.
They
why
just,
would you bother?
Exactly.
They don't need that crap, right? They're like, come on, we're going to run the football when we feel like it, which is like twice a game.
Yeah.
And that's one of those could be with Josh Allen.
What about you, Field? Do you think he will finish as the wide receiver one this year?
You know, I said yes before the show, so I'll keep yes. But the way that Liz made the argument is pretty compelling. Like, I should be betting the field. I'll stick with yes, but I'm sorry. I'll say with no. I'll stick with no, but before the show, I was leaning yes.
Okay, that's fair. I'm going to go with no as well. I just like
there's, smart argument.
There's
by Liz.
Too many bet people to be able to look at. All right, what about Gabe Davis? Will Gabe Davis finish as a top 20 wide receiver? Liz, let's start with you.
I don't remember what I said.
You said yes.
I did say yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so then, yes, to my point earlier, there is so much passing volume, and, you know, I do think his peak days are going to be high enough to offset the wide receiver 54 weeks, and so we're going to average out inside the top.
That's the Mike Clay, or it's the Mike Williams conversation from last year, right?
Yeah, and our friend Tristan Cockcroft has this metric in which he analyzes consistency rankings, and it's like, who can you count on every single week? And the answer is, maybe Gabe Davis will be outside the top 20 of consistency rankings at the end of the season. But I just think given the fact that he's had 2 duds already and he's still wide receiver 17 on a points per game basis, it underscores the point that we're trying to make. There's going to be enough big, huge, monster games for Gabe Davis to offset the occasional dud. He'll end up being a top 20 wide receiver.
Just for the record, I said no on that question. I have him just outside, in part because 65% of his fantasy points have come just from touchdowns.
He might keep that number to 85.
That may continue. That's a thing. Like, that may continue, but I feel like touchdowns are really hard to be able to quantify from that
point
season long.
So like
they are very. I under like 90 or 95% of circumstances, I agree with you. I do believe though that in this offense,
Josh Allen,
that
this
quarterback
offense,
and his skill set and what Gabe Davis does best. He is sort of like baby Mike Evans, and like touchdowns are likely to happen.
Is that Orchard Park magic?
That's what it is.
Orchard Park magic.
That's what it is. All right, let's talk Cleveland Browns. Amari Cooper will finish as a top 20 wide receiver, and David Njoku will be a top 10 tight end. Field. Right now, Amari Cooper is wide receiver 20 on the year. David Njoku is tight end 6. So, Where are you at on Amari Cooper inside the top 20?
This is a no yes for me. Okay. I feel confident in David Njoku. I feel less confident in Amari Cooper only because, I mean, first of all, the quarterback play, that's probably the driving force here. It's just the quarterback play, right? Is that like there's people that are wondering whether Jacoby Brissett needs to be benched right now, which the options aren't exactly great. Josh Dobbs or Kellen Mond, probably not going to be much, if any, upgrade over Jacoby Brissett. That, to me, is the motivating factor behind Amari Cooper. I just don't know that the explosion days are nearly as likely as they are for guys who might be a little bit behind him, right? Like, take a DeVonta Smith, who we know he might have the occasional quiet day, but DeVonta Smith's a better bet for 125 yards and a touchdown than Amari Cooper is. That's true. And Njoku, I feel good about. Njoku, I feel really good. Like, they paid him a big contract this offseason, and there are a lot of people, me included, being like, dang, that's a big bet on David Njoku. He's looked good. And he's a fantastic athlete, tremendous athlete. They're creating opportunities here for David Njoku because right now it's Amari Cooper and it's David Njoku. This is a season-long debate we are having right now. I know we're a long ways away from this still, but from weeks 13 through 18, Deshaun Watson will be on the field. So 6 games that include Deshaun Watson, which should lead to a boost in the overall passing efficiency in Cleveland.
And they paid real money to David Njoku this offseason. Like, this isn't,
big time money.
Well, they didn't just pay him, but they also gave him the opportunities, which is
right.
Field is talking
exactly.
About. Like, it's one thing to finally give the guy the opportunities, but now he's not sharing snaps and routes run with
Austin Hooper or pick whoever the tight end is at the time. All right, Liz, what about you?
I love all of Fields' points, but I am going to say, based on volume alone, as ugly as it may be, yes, Amari Cooper, who has managed double-digit targets over the past 3 consecutive weeks, will finish as a top 20 wide receiver. And I'm also baking in some optimism for Deshaun Watson's return at the end of the season, assuming that if we are on the bubble there, his return might boost Cooper inside the top 20 in terms of efficiency and matching it with the volume.
That's where I'm at as well. Yeah. I also have yes and yes to answer these questions. It's just because the amount of volume that Amari Cooper is, you know, he is going to get. He has a 27% target share. I don't think that's going to change a whole lot. David Njoku is just at tight end position. You know, you guys have already said it.
I like him. I'm super impressed by David Njoku.
I'm pumped with what we've seen from him so far this year. All right. Next question. Jalen Hurts will finish ahead of Patrick Mahomes. And Miles Sanders will finish ahead of CEH. So will both of these Eagles players at their respective positions finish ahead of the Chiefs? Who do you want to start with? Liz, I'm going to start with you.
You first. Yeah.
Let's go with Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. Which one do you have finishing higher this year?
I do believe that Jalen Hurts, because of that rushing upside, that cheat code, is going to finish ahead of Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. It doesn't mean that it's going to be the most dazzling. We are looking at numbers here.
Yep.
I would believe statistically Hurts will have the advantage. I also would like, I mean, he's on bye, then he's versus Pittsburgh, at Houston, versus Washington, Patrick Mahomes at San Francisco.
That's tough.
Ooh, on bye, then versus Tennessee, that's a little bit easier. Jacksonville, we'll see where they've been up and down, right? I think when I look at the matchups, though, I'm going to give advantage to Hurts and his legs, and I am definitely picking Miles Sanders over CEH, who was outproduced by Jerick McKinnon 2 weeks ago. You've got Isaiah Pacheco being all extra in the backfield. Mm-hmm. Who knows what those touches are going to look like? And, you know, kudos to Mike Clay, who said that eventually CEH would run into a math wall. He ran into a human and math wall.
That's right.
Over the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, the CEH versus Miles Sanders one is pretty easy for me. Liz made a lot of the salient points, but Miles Sanders, who's already outscoring CEH, believe it or not, has 41 more touches than CEH. He has 7 golden goal carries this year. CEH has just 3. The important metrics matter, and they are favoring Miles Sanders clearly over CEH. Jalen Hurts versus Patrick Mahomes, we're 6 games into the season. They are 3 total points apart. I flipped a coin before the show. It landed on Patrick Mahomes, but if you have either one of them, the reality is that you could have the best quarterback in fantasy every single week. So I landed with Patrick Mahomes only because he's Patrick Mahomes, and like one of like the commandments I live my life by is to just not pick against Patrick Mahomes.
That's a good one.
But I mean, It could easily be Jalen Hurts.
The only reason why I would Jalen Hurts over Patrick Mahomes to that point field is if this was a different rushing quarterback, I probably would have gone with Patrick Mahomes. But because it's 6 points per rushing touchdown and they utilize him at the goal line as much as they do, that part is just like the little cheat code for me where like it just sort of pushed me over the edge. Yep. But like, how can you go wrong with either one of these guys, right?
You literally can't.
And you don't have Russell Wilson.
And it's more important this year than ever, right?
That's right.
It's more important this year than it would be in prior years. There were guys who were not anywhere close to top draft picks at quarterback last year, they're like, wow, this guy just keeps balling out and crushing it. We don't have that this season. It is a totally different landscape for quarterbacks.
All right, let's talk some rookie running backs. Okay. The question is, on a per game basis, both Breece Hall and Dameon Pierce will finish as top 12 running backs, Field Yates.
Yes, I'm going with yes. And right now they are both inside the top 12. Breece Hall is now up to RB8. Dameon Pierce is now up to RB10. And so Dameon Pierce is the guy in Houston, and they're running the football fairly effectively, like more so than I would have imagined, even with just okay passing game volume. It's been a great season for Dameon Pierce. The passing game hasn't been great in Houston at all, and you're getting all this from Dameon Pierce. I don't expect that to change very much. He handled, by the way, this is great. Over the past four games that they played, 93% of the Houston running back carries went to Dameon Pierce. It's his job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Breece Hall, everything about him screams fantasy star. Not only has he been super involved in the passing game this season, he's top five in terms of running back targets. Here's his carry count by week. 6, 7, 8, 17, 18, 20. 6, 7, 8, 17, 18, 20. Do you notice a pattern there?
It's bigger. Gone
up every single week. So it'll eventually level off, right? If I can get 15 carries though every week from Breece Hall and 5 targets or so from Breece Hall, you feel great about him finishing as a top 10 running back. Love both of these players. So happy to see each of them thriving already.
Liz, where are you on these two rookie running backs?
Yes and yes.
Wow. Okay.
Loving them both. I think, again, Field made all of the great points. You've got for Breece Hall, watching him play. I mean, we watched him in the war room, which was a fantastic experience. But just listening to everybody here scream, and he's been close to that many times. Even remember last week?
Yeah.
He was like close to the goal line a couple of times. 6 catches or a touchdown in every game this season. Again, I know I said it on Monday's show, but if you're going to trade up for a running back in this market, it better hit, and they hit on him. And Pierce, yes. You know what? I'm a Bears fan, right? Lovie Smith. Have a little bit of a familiarity with the guy. By the way, also Mike Ditka's birthday today. We share that.
Yeah. So. Legend.
Yes. Lovie Smith, though, we know that man likes to establish the run. Defensive coaches generally do. He found someone who can do it effectively despite the fact that the team is not an offensive powerhouse.
I'm going to say yes on Breece Hall and no on Dameon Pierce.
Because of game script?
And here's the reason why I know on Dameon Pierce. As running back 10 right now, guys that are currently behind him are Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara, Jonathan Taylor, and Aaron Jones.
That's fair.
I think when I look at those five guys currently that have struggled to start the season, if I think
someone's
going to jump into that, and it's part of that is Dameon Pierce, I love all the volume, but on a Texans team that maybe not be as competitive as some of those other teams I just mentioned, that would be the only reason why. It has nothing to do with skill set or anything like
that. That's a good one, for sure.
All right, let's talk for 2023. We have talked ad nauseum about, boy, we all made a mistake drafting running backs. We should have taken a wide receiver first. In 2023, Liz Loza, the first overall pick, will be a wide receiver, and you will consider a quarterback in the third round.
I will say that the league in which I am doing the best in is one in which I took a wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, with the second pick.
Okay.
That being said, I might feel comfortable taking a wide receiver as the number one overall pick.
Okay.
I do not believe the trend will change. However, I feel like we will be back here in July and August saying Breece Hall is the number one pick for this year, or Jonathan Taylor, if he comes in. There will be a running back because old habits die hard, and it is so much easier. We've talked about this in the Fantasy Improv article we do. It is so much harder to convince yourself when you have so many more wide receivers based on odds that you will not hit one of those and wait, because when you only have this many theoretical options available at running back, the odds of you hitting feel so much harder. So you want to get, with that first pick, as much opportunity to hit correctly as possible.
Yep.
And I just don't think people are going to be able to convince themselves otherwise.
All right, so I'm on the opposite end of this. I say yes and yes, and here's the reason why. And the caveat on the first part about whether there'll be a wide receiver taken first overall is that we have what shapes up as a very, very good running back free agency class in 2023. Saquon Barkley amongst the headlining names. if Saquon, like let's say Saquon signed with the Chiefs or something, right? Or the Bills, which Giants fans, I'm not trying to say that's going to happen. I'm just using hypotheticals here. Then that could change the conversation around the number one overall pick in fantasy. But assuming those running backs that are going to be free agents either go to less desirable fantasy locations or just stay put, what I've realized over the years is that from one year to the next, recency bias is one of the dominating factors in fantasy analysis. It really is. And if you have the number one overall pick, and we assume that Cooper Kupp once again finishes the last 12 weeks of the season, like the first 6 weeks have gone for the season, I think he'll be the overwhelming favorite to go number one, because I think that he'll A, be close to, if not wide receiver one, maybe he's wide receiver two or three. And you could tell yourself, let's just say that Stephon Diggs finishes wide receiver one. We could say, hey, well, you know what? Diggs was wide receiver one last year, but now you've got back-to-back incredible years from Cooper Kupp. Burden, you know, just take the given. And I think the given would end up being Cooper Kupp there. And same thing with quarterbacks, is that you could say, yeah, you guys are all nice with your late-round quarterback ideas, and Derek Carr could be a sleeper, whatever. How about just give me Josh Allen? I don't have to worry about it.
Yep.
How about I get 17 games of 20-plus fantasy points and never have to think twice about my quarterback, as opposed to maybe hitting on Russell Wilson or maybe having a guy 6 weeks into a $49 million contract extension per year, by the way, looking like he might be damaged goods.
Hold on, Field, real quick to the quarterback piece of it, because I didn't answer that part. People in the seventh round largely got Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
So does that change the, that's a, like an interesting wrinkle. If you're going to get potentially the number two, number three overall quarterback at the end of the year, and you were able to get him in round seven.
Yep.
So that's a little different. Well, go ahead, Fields. Well,
my pushback to that would just be that what I think is going to happen is that rather than like two or three quarterbacks going in the first three, four rounds, it's going to be like, all right, we're going to have Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, sure. Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert, maybe Kyler Murray. They go between like rounds two to four.
So
that next tier will be the guys you have to roll the dice on.
So ostensibly then we're looking at potentially quarterbacks the way that we do tight ends.
Yes, yep. That's correct.
Yep.
100%.
I was just thinking about that. Yeah. And I think I don't remember what I said to the answer to this question. I think I said no to wide receiver first overall, and in part because I think the NFL is such a what have you done for me lately kind of a business, that if we see Jonathan Taylor or Derrick Henry just crush it over these last 12 weeks, yeah, right? Like, then it's like, all right, well, I got to take the guy that's going to be that guy, yeah, because we've watched running backs do that.
Right.
However, for a quarterback, I'm totally with you. Other than the fact that I don't want to say it's the third round that I'm taking a quarterback, but I'm definitely saying that first tier,
yeah,
is what I'm going to target because I didn't do that this year. And to that tight end point, you got to be in that top tier to make sure you have this a set it and forget it guy with how bad the streamers have been.
What a fun, silly game we play.
Right? So good. All right. We are going to do a new edition of Squirrel Stock. This one is a rookie edition of Squirrel Stock. Hope you guys are ready for this. All right. Let's talk Squirrel Stock up and down. I'm going to start with Garrett Wilson.
Okay. Down or up?
Garrett Wilson is unfortunately Squirrel Stock down right now. All right. And here's the reason why. Weeks 1 through 3 with Joe Flacco, Wilson had 18 receptions on 33 targets for 214 yards and two glorious touchdowns.
Yeah.
With Zach Wilson, weeks 4 through 6, he has six catches on 15 targets for 76 yards. They literally are not looking at them. This has become more about the running backs in this offense. Joe Flacco has 325 more passing yards and three more touchdowns in his three games than Zach Wilson does. Joe Flacco has more completions, 91, in his three games than Zach Wilson has attempts, only 75.
Yep.
He has 75 attempts in three games. In Joe Flacco's three games, he threw 155 times. That's literally more than twice as much as what Zach Wilson has done. With the way that this Jets offense is being utilized right now, Garrett Wilson, even though we've seen him do it before and all that talent, he is just not being utilized the same way because they're running the ball.
And it's working.
Yeah. It's about Breece Hall. It's about Michael Carter. It's about now having Zach Wilson throw the ball 155 times over three games. So unfortunately, as much as I love him, he's just Squirrel Stock down for me until we see something change with Zach Wilson under center.
By the way, for the next 5 weeks, 4 out of those 5 games could be low scoring affairs where playing great defense and running the football works. They go Broncos, Patriots, Bills. I don't expect that one to be a low scoring affair. Patriots, Bears. So, I think there's a chance that the Jets don't have a choice, or sorry, that they say, hey, we do have a choice here. We can continue to try to grind out wins with defense and special teams and a high volume rushing attack and a low volume passing attack. Zach Wilson had 110 passing yards on Sunday, and they still won handily.
Awful. Yes.
Why change the formula?
Why change it?
And remember, their head coach is a defensive-minded guy.
Oh, yep. Yeah. All right, for stock up, this one's going to be pretty easy. Again, this is rookie edition, stock up. It's Ken Walker. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you saw him. We were waiting to see. All right, so no Rashad Penny. He came in last week, ripped off a beautiful 69-yard touchdown run. What did he get this week when he had the full complement of a workload? He had 21 rushes for 97 yards, a touchdown, and two receptions for 13 yards. 21 of the 23 carries in the week 6 win over the Cardinals. Seattle needs to be able to run the football in order to keep their defense off the field, because their defense is bad. So it is in Seattle's best interest to continue to rely on him. As much as we love the pass catchers, Ken Walker is a guy that I love, even though he has continually moved up. It's just the ceiling is so high for this kid in this offense. All right. I'm going to do this next one. Squirrel stock down. And I hate to be a negative person.
No, but this one bothers me.
And it's Drake London.
Yeah, I hate it. I don't disagree. I just hate it.
I know. Yeah. I do, too. And here's the reason why. Weeks 1-3, he was the highest scoring rookie, 51.4 fantasy points. They were utilizing him. They were looking at him, a ton of targets. Weeks 4-6, 18.2 fantasy points, averaging barely over 6 points a game. Mm. He's run under 18 routes per game over the last 3 weeks, which is wide receiver 82. Wide receiver 82. You can't catch the ball unless you're out there running routes. But it's the same kind of a thing. Graham Barfield and I talked about this on Twitter. And by talked about, I mean Graham Barfield yelled at me on Twitter yesterday about how the Falcons, the same way that we just talked about with the Jets, they want to run the ball.
Last week, I said this. I said, when we were talking about Kyle Pitts, how does it get better? I was like, why would it get better for Arthur Smith?
They don't want to change it.
They were 2-2, punching above their weight. And I know that 2-2 is not 4-0, but still, for a team that on talent might suggest you they were like a one-win team, you know, they're 3-3 now. So if the formula is working in real life, it should not be adjusted to acquiesce to our fantasy desires.
Oh, you should, Field? Come on.
It should be, but it won't be.
That's the part that's frustrating. I can still be frustrated because it's like you've got these two superstars. I understand.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to grind out wins for your job, but like, this is one of those spots where it's, oh, man, just use the guys that we love watching on the field.
You made the point, too, Field, about Marcus Mariota throwing the ball like 11 times a game.
I know they are now, and I think Mike had this as well, the Bears have now been bypassed by the Falcons. The Falcons are now the run-heaviest team in the NFL.
They are, 52.2%.
Yeah, 52.2% of their plays. So, in an offense that has a mobile quarterback that's running the football a ton, opportunities for wideouts and tight ends are going to be limited.
All right, one more here for you, and it's brought up by Body Armor. Gear up this fall with Body Armor sports drink, more than just a sports drink, and I am going with Chris Olave for me. All right, sweet. Not listed on Monday's estimated injury report.
Big news there,
which is awesome. Did not play last week because of the concussion, obviously, just in case that you were unaware of that. But 10-plus fantasy points in every week since week one. Yep. And he's been quarterback agnostic. Saw success with Jameis Winston going down the field with those deep shots, even with Andy Dalton, though. Got in the end zone. He's had a touchdown in each of the last two. And part of this is because of the health of the other wide receivers within that team. You got Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry both dealing with issues. This kid is someone that they have looked at and utilized. They want to keep getting him the ball. What is the ceiling for Chris Olave in this offense if they can figure things out?
This one feels good. In a season in which we've talked about these quarterbacks being triggering and running backs being bad and all of our projections, all of our thoughts, all of the things we were very sure of in August, this is one that we were sure of and is actually working out. We were unsure about Michael Thomas's health. We were unsure about Jarvis Landry in this offense, but we knew that as crisp of a route runner as Chris Olave was, that he could come in here and be polished and pro ready and actually take the alpha role in this offense. The fact that he has been quarterback proof is an additional boon to his stock. I love this pick. And it also just makes me feel pretty good about liking him in the offseason.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. The ceiling, Daniel, I'm not totally sure of. I would think it's top 20-ish wide receiver be
right
the
now
ceiling,
in his offense.
Probably. But more pertinent to week 7, I think you can consider him a borderline lineup lock, because it does not sound like, as you guys have both referenced, Mike Thomas or Jarvis Landry be available on Thursday night against the Cardinals. We'll see who's starting at quarterback for the Saints. Certainly seems like it could be Andy Dalton. But still, given how well Chris Olave has performed so far this year, no matter who's been at quarterback, you should expect him to be inside your lineup if you already have Chris Olave on your roster.
Not just has a nice floor, but like the boom week potential for him with what he can do.
Yeah, and you'd like it more if you would like it more if it's Jameis because he's just so prone to throwing the football down the field, but it's been serviceable enough with Andy Dalton.
All right, we're going to come back and talk waiver wire, right? It's streaming options here in week 7, but first, Field, go ahead and give us a little bit of love from our friends over at Miller Lite.
True fans know there are only two seasons, fantasy football season and preparing for fantasy football
season. That's right.
But truly, the best part about this time of the year is enjoying all the action with great friends and enjoying the great taste of a Hall of Fame-worthy beer at your side. That's why win or lose, game time is Miller time. Just imagine watching the games with the reliable taste of Miller Lite, knowing it's low in calories. Sure, you have to worry about the role of your RB1 or the target share of your tight end, but not your beverage of choice. The best part, no matter how your team plays, Miller Lite is always a winner. A lot of light beers cut back on the most crucial ingredient, flavor. Quick on its feet, heavy hitting on flavor, no wonder it's been MVP from day one. This football, enjoy the sweet taste of victory with Miller Lite, the original light beer. Find it pretty much anywhere beer is sold or go to MillerLite.com/FFF for delivery options near you. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces.
Football season is here and nothing beats seeing your favorite team live. Not only does Vivid Seats have great NFL ticket prices, they're also the official ticketing partner of ESPN, excuse me. And with Vivid Seats rewards, when you buy 10 tickets, you get the 11th free. Download the app and visit vividseats.com today. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Receive a reward credit equal to the average price of 10 tickets purchased, excluding taxes, fees, and processing costs. See vividseats.com/rewards for terms and conditions. All right. What is up, my good friend, Eric Moody? It is wonderful to see your beautiful face today. How you doing here on week 7?
No, I was doing good. I was thinking about saying something witty, but you know what? I'm going to put it out there. If I were doing vitamins would be taking me.
Oh, Eric, I love that. I love that confidence. Yes, man. That is so good. All right. Let's get into the things that you do best. Oh, there goes Liz Loza. That's okay. And here we are with a waiver wire here in week 7. It's so good to have Liz on the show with us in person. All right, let's talk about the bye weeks that we have leading into this. Eric, Field, let me know. Before the show started, 5 of the top 6 fantasy players are on bye this week. There are a ton of massive teams. The Rams, the Bills, the Eagles, and the Vikings are all out. So we have a lot of streaming options here that we need to be able to find at the quarterback position. Where are you going this week, my friend?
Well, you know what? I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence here. I'm like, he's available, and I think it's right around 50% of ESPN leagues. And one thing about Lawrence that I like is, I'm like, he's going to give you enough to be a great streaming option, but in certain matchups, you know, he does have QB1 upside. Because you look at the Jaguars, they love to run the football. You know, I believe they rank 8th in rushing attempts per game this year. And then whenever Lawrence does pass the ball, they like to lean heavily on the short to intermediate parts of the field. I'm like, this is a quarterback that's only averaging 7 rushing yards per attempt. But he is a Konami Code quarterback because he does love to tuck the football in and run. He can give you some rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. And he's the type of fantasy quarterback that's good to give you, you know, 14, 15, 16 points. But you never know. He could have a performance like he did last week and give you over 20.
Yeah, and that's one of those things. If he's utilizing his legs the way that he does, you like that nice, it's a safe floor. It's not huge, but it's a safe floor at the quarterback position. But that upside with some of the rushing ability that he has from there. All right, if you cannot get Trevor Lawrence, I like him the most as well at the quarterback position this week. Who else are you targeting if you can't grab him?
Well, this is an option for those that like to live dangerously. We're going to go with Marcus Mariota. I'm going to call Marcus Mariota the OG of the Konami Code quarterbacks. And he's kind of given us glimpses of, you know, that tantalizing upside, you know, that we all expected from him earlier in his career. But, you know, he has a second opportunity, and I think he's performing very well. My biggest concern, Dop, when I'm looking at Mariota is that you look at the Falcons, they really, really love to run the football. The only other team that's averaging more rushing attempts per game is the Philadelphia Eagles. And I look at Mariota as someone that with his rushing ability, I'm like, the range of outcomes is very wide. I'm like, he can give you 8 or 9 points, or he can give you 25. And I know you and Liz and Field were talking about this earlier, like with Drake London. I'm like, he's got receiving playmakers, Drake London. He's got Kyle Pitts, but they just lean so heavily on the run, he just doesn't maximize that quite a bit. But his rushing ability does make up for it. So if you can't get Trevor Lawrence, you know, I would go ahead and pick up Marcus Mariota.
Don't forget his other pass-catching tight end, Mecole Pruitt, who caught a touchdown. We were all really excited about that in fantasy last week. Super fun to have him not throw it to Kyle Pitts instead. All right, let's talk about the running back position here. And Eric, it seems fairly obvious, and we're just like, what an awesome story to see Brian Robinson be able to come back from everything that happened here in the preseason. But you have him as a guy, for some reason, still not rostered in enough leagues. Go out and pick him up this week. Why do you love Brian Robinson?
Yeah, no, I love him quite a bit. Like you mentioned, Dobb, hey, it's a great story, you know, just considering what happened and how he returned, you know, back in this game on Thursday night, you know, for the Commanders, just given the circumstances was eye-opening. But something else that I noticed is that prior to that game, you know, they did mention that, hey, Brian Robinson will be our starter. And he ultimately delivered. I'm like, you look at his stat line. I'm like, he rushed for 66 yards, 15 carries. That's Latavius Murray. My stats are getting mixed up. So let me take a step back. 17 rushing attempts. We'll get there soon. 17 rushing attempts and 60 rushing yards, and he had a rushing touchdown. But what I noticed is that they obviously mixed in Antonio Gibson. They also mixed in J.D. McKissic. But the fact that they're saying, hey, he's going to be our starter ahead of that game, and he led the backfield, shows me that they really like this kid a lot. And I'm looking at Robinson as like a flex option on a weekly basis every week with upside for more. Now, I know some of the Antonio Gibson truthers are like, well, you know, Gibson looked good with some of those rushing attempts. Yeah, I guess he did, but the coaching staff just clearly doesn't have confidence in him. It's going to be Brian Robinson's backfield moving forward. He's the guy. Pick him up. Just let's get his roster percentage higher, right?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And you understand that it's still going to be like a committee to an extent in this backfield, but it's obvious, at least right now, it seems like when this rookie came back, they immediately gave him the lion's share of the workload, which is just like, how do you not notice that and say, all right, well, we've got to make a shift here. And so from that standpoint, I realize I'm putting you on the spot, but like, let's say, you know, I roster Antonio Gibson in my league. He's rostered in 85% of leagues right now. Brian Robinson is out there. If I've got to drop somebody and Antonio Gibson is the only guy that I feel like is droppable, do you think it's okay to be able to drop Antonio Gibson in order to go out and pick up his backfield mate in Brian Robinson?
Yeah, no, I would drop him. As always say in fantasy football, hope is not a winning strategy. You always have to be proactive and not reactive. I would drop him.
All right. All right, and again, this is whenever we talk about dropping players, it is not like advocating. Just go out and drop them no matter what, just because they're awful. It's like if you have the right situation, you're picking up the right player for them, they are okay to be dropped from your fantasy roster. Just want to make sure that that is very clear. All right, let's talk about wide receivers.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Hollywood Brown went down last week, going to miss at least a couple weeks. DeAndre Hopkins coming back this next week, but that means that there's now still a chance for Rondale Moore within this Cardinals offense, Eric Moody.
Yeah, no, I really like Rondale Moore. I know he's a great waiver wire pickup. You know, we got Brown, you know, that's down. He may end up coming back, like, after the Cardinals' Week 13 bye. So we're looking at, like, Week 14. But if you look at Rondale Moore, like, over the past two games, like, he's caught 13 of 18 targets for 117 receiving yards. And Kyler Murray does love to throw in the short to intermediate parts of the field. That's an area where Rondale Moore thrives with his yards after the catchability. I think he's someone that's, like, a flex option each and every week with upside for more. Pick him up.
Agreed. I'm with you. And unfortunately, with Hollywood Brown, like you said, being out, we're at a spot where he's probably going to still be utilized within this offense. And, you know, James Conner still dealing with rib injuries. Daryl Williams still dealing with, you know, some injuries there. So the backfield is something to be able to work out. Got to figure out what's going on with those Arizona Cardinals. All right. If you cannot grab Rondale Moore, is there a wide receiver that you like as a secondary option off the waiver wire?
I felt like I've said this on multiple shows, but you know what? I am going to say it again.
Yeah.
Michael Gallup. It blows my mind that this guy is still available in the number of leagues that he's in. Like, we got Dak Prescott that's coming back. That's going to upgrade the Cowboys' passing attack. I'm going to give you a stat, Dop. It's like Cooper Rush. The past 2 weeks, it has been rough. Like, he's combined for, I think, 9.2 fantasy points. And I'll leave you with this stat. Looking at Michael Gallup entering this season, in games where he's had six or more targets and he's had 31 career games, This is a guy that's averaged 69 receiving yards and 14 fantasy points per game. He's a weekly flex option with upside for much more. And fantasy managers should be salivating, and those that have Dak Prescott too, because I'm sorry, Dop. I should have thought about this before. I'm gonna lay it out there gently.
Okay, that's
they're playing
all right.
The Detroit Lions
yep.
this week,
and the Chicago
and they give
Bears
up
the
a
week
lot
after
of passing
that.
Yards. Exactly, and so just pick up Michael Gallup, pick him up now. You'll be happy that you did. And I guess we'll see what things look like in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, you know what? It's hard to fault that, and it does hurt a little bit, Eric, but when it's true, it's true. You can't change facts. I guess the Lions and the Bears should be two really good mm-hmm. matchups for this Cowboys offense getting Dak Prescott back. So I'm with you. Go out and pick up Michael Gallup. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much, yeah. my friend. Go out and check out Eric's daily notes every single day. He has updates from news from around the league. Also follow him on Twitter, @EricNMoody. Eric, we'll see you next Tuesday, buddy. And that's going to do it for the rest of us.
That sounds good. Take care.
Thank you so much for hanging out with everybody here. It's been a ton of fun with Liz Loza here, Field as well. We will be back tomorrow. One more day with Liz. One final day before she heads back to Los Angeles. Maybe we'll do another board bet with her. I don't know. We'll see how things work out. But for Liz and Field, my name is Daniel. We love you guys. Good luck off of waivers. We'll see you tomorrow.
Secret, not a mystery, the one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate Full Sail, you a Lions fan through and through, with the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's Daniel Dopp.
Who's that? Who's that squad? Who's that squad?
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.